I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, St. Cross.
Good morning, Rachel.
It's good to be back after my sabbatic month, is what I am calling it. And I'm grateful for the much needed month of rest. And I'm also grateful that within that time, I was able to spend quality time in France with my French family. Now, this was a trip that was first planned for summer of 2020. And then I rescheduled it last summer for my what was going to be sabbatical but turned into family leave. Didn't exactly make it over then. So this April, Tuesday after Easter, I finally boarded the plane. And I had Reverend Patty in tow with me, who stayed for the whole trip, and my husband Chad, and he was with us for the first week. And it was a glorious time, to say nothing of great bread and butter, but we weren't gonna go there. I could go on and on about the time that I spent with my family. But I want to focus on two aspects of this trip that I believe relate to our gospel lesson today: language and relationship. First, language. As the fluent-ish French speaker of the three of us, I was often the lead when we were making purchases, buying tickets, catching taxis, negotiating which museum line we were supposed to be in. At a few gatherings that we were with larger groups, I would be turned to explain a word or maybe for a translation. And I admit I've been diligent with my Duolingo app, doing French, not Spanish like the rest of the world should be doing. But no, I've stuck with my French and it actually helped, and I felt like I got by okay. But I can still trip up on what are called faux amis. Faux as in false, and ami as in friend. So these are false friends that if you try to take a word that you know in English and translate it with a French accent, it does not mean the same thing. Easy examples are that what we call a raisin is actually in French called a raisin, but it's a grape, right? So same word, but with us it's shriveled up, and in France it is the full fruit. Same, prunes are dried plums, but they just use the word prune for a regular plum. What we call buttons, if you use the word button in French, that's pimples, okay? Just giving you a few examples. And there are far more that are funnier and not church appropriate and can actually be quite embarrassing when you make them, especially for three decades. So anyway, I was thinking about this expression of false friends when I read the gospel for today. And if you were not in church last week, I wasn't. Today's reading is the continuation of what Jesus was saying last week at the Last Supper. God is the vine grower, Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches and are to bear fruit. And we only truly bear fruit when we follow Jesus. The writer of the Gospel of John likes to repeat imagery throughout his writing to make a point. And it usually takes something that Jesus said and then repeats it to go deeper. And this week we get the deeper sense of what was said last week. So what did Jesus mean with all of the grapes and growing metaphor? Jesus actually explains today how we are to be the branches. We are the branches when we abide in God's love. Just as Jesus abides in God's love, so we are to abide in God's love by keeping to Jesus' teaching, which Jesus, just to make very clear what his teaching is, says, immediately after he says, follow my teaching, he says that to abide in God's love, you are to love one another as I have loved you. I kept coming back to the word abide as I read through this passage, and I got curious about the word itself. It's used 34 times in the Gospel of John. It was used 10 times between last week's reading and this week's reading. So clearly, abiding is something that Jesus wants from us. And I thought about times in my life when I have used the word abiding, so I went to the dictionary. I love a good dictionary, man. It's the best thing in the world, but I use Google. So I went and Googled what abide was, and I found the usual suspects that we use in common parlance today. To comply or conform, to put up with, to tolerate or bear. And you and I both know Jesus is not asking us to tolerate, bear, or comply with God. That just isn't the format of the loving relationship that Jesus is speaking about. And then down at the bottom, because you know I like to go all the way into like the etymology and where it came from and where it's been used. Down at the bottom, it says archaic usage. To live or dwell. Ah, that's what we were looking for. In most English Bibles, the translation for the Greek word meno, to abide, or meno, is to abide, or occasionally you'll find remain. And for those of you who are going to go home and look in your King James Version that is by your nightstand, Jesus actually says the words tarry-y. Tarry ye a while. But we need to be clear about what we mean in this word, abide, as it relates to the very specific instructions Jesus gave to us. Abide in God's love, and in doing so, love one another as I have loved you. And that brings me to relationship. Abiding in God's love is first and foremost about being in relationship with God. And Jesus tells us in turn to take that loving relationship we have with God and then to extend that love to one another and to form relationships, loving, caring relationships here on earth. As one who had half of my family die in my early 20s, and then navigated a new family makeup and dynamic, I am well aware that abiding in loving relationships is sometimes not so fun, nor easy, nor desirable, and you really are tolerating and bearing the circumstances. But it also made me aware of the loving relationships that we can be gifted both within and outside of our Christian community when we do indeed remain steadfast in God's love. Through this time in my early adulthood, I learned to love more dearly and more deeply and to become more trusting of outside of what others would consider family, defined by bloodlines or parenting or who lives under one roof. I started unconventional family, if you will. I had women who stepped up and mothered me. And I also drew closer with my French family, so close that over 30 years later, we just use the terms brother and sister and aunt and nephew. And we treat each other as such for better or worse, having been there in good times and difficult ones. And I don't give this example to say, look at how well I learned to abide in God's love. No, It's rather to say I know how very desperately important it is to be in right relationship with God and with one another by abiding in God's love. I think many of us are familiar with the hymn, Abide With Me. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. This hymn focusing on the loneliness and fear that can set in when facing a difficult situation or death, or sitting with a loved one who is facing difficult situations and death. It is those moments when we can feel so very isolated and alone, where we might be living in fear of what will come next. And indeed, in these moments, we can absolutely, without doubt, rely on God abiding with us, God remaining with us, God present at our side with us in our darkest moments. I can promise you, the more we practice abiding in our daily lives, the more we will be aware of God's presence in our darkest hours. For we don't just abide in God, God never stops abiding in us. I think through those early years of adulthood, I did see abiding as tolerating or bearing the grief, putting up with something I couldn't change. Many of you, as you have lost loved ones, have heard me speak of the year of firsts, when someone you love dies. The first Christmas, the first birthday, the first major family gathering, the first time you go to pick up the phone and you realize you cannot call. At these times, the relationships that we have built with God and through God's love will see us through. But what I didn't realize until recently, we're all still growing, right? We're all still growing our faith. I don't have to know everything, right? What I did not realize, and I am growing into, is that abiding can also apply to joy. It took me about 3 months after our wedding to realize that I had already been through 3 months and I had 9 more months of first ahead of me. Only this time, they were with my husband and they were going to be joyful events. Now, yes, my husband has been in my life a long time. We've celebrated birthdays and holidays with each other, but this year is different because we're in the midst of a year of firsts as husband and wife. Abiding, remaining with God is most definitely obvious in our darkest hour, but it is just as relevant and important in our most joyful times, too. My invitation for today is for all of us to pay attention to the translation, to the deeper meaning of how Jesus is calling us to deepen our relationship with God. Be careful of false friends, and remember that when we translate correctly, we can truly be intentional about growing our relationship with God. So intentional that we can feel that sense of relationship and closeness when we are in our deepest need and when we are on our highest mountain. This week, in your prayers, in your meditation, name those needs in those joys, into your abiding with God and see how it takes you into deeper loving relationship. Amen.